Experts say the range of mental illness is roughly the same in the developed and developing worlds, hitting rich and poor, from Hollywood to Bollywood, and from London to Soweto. The WHO says 1 in 4 people will develop at least one mental or behavioral disorder in their lifetime. Sometimes these illnesses are genetic, which may be passed down from generation to generation. And sometimes it may be triggered by traumatic events, including conflict. Dr. Frank Njenga is the president of the African Association of Psychiatrists and Allied Professions in Nairobi, Kenya.
The biggest challenges in Africa are really the relationship and the connection between poverty and mental health. And the things that drive poor mental health amongst the Africans are the same factors that drive poverty. In this respect, I mean, wars, internal displacement, HIV, AIDS, and just the fact that 60% of Africans live below the poverty line, the fact that there are so many people who are afflicted by infectious diseases, including HIV, AIDS, the fact that there are so many wars and so many people displaced right across Africa. These are the main drivers to conditions like depression, post-traumatic stress disorder, alcohol and substance abuse, even before you talk about the psychosis, which have a prevalence which is similar right across the world.
Children are a special concern for Njenga. At least 10% of all African children are AIDS orphans or child soldiers.
Anybody who tries to project as to what is going to happen to the neglected African child who is a victim or survivor of post-traumatic stress disorder as a result of witnessing their parents or their teachers or their siblings being mutilated in the war would really be guessing. However, if African children are normal people, which I believe they are, then one begins to project and understand that in the course of time, children who witnessed a genocide in Rwanda are likely to grow up and become adults who have unresolved grief, unresolved post-traumatic stress disorder, substance abuse issues, depression issues. And in fact, just thinking about the likely consequences of the traumatic events the African child is going through, one would anticipate that in 15, 20, 30 years' time, really, we're going to have a large African population of deeply traumatized, deeply psychologically unstable populations.
It's not easy to get treatment. And Njenga says there's about one psychiatrist for every 500,000 people in Africa. And Zimbabwe says there's only 2 psychiatrists for every 20 million people. And some countries have none at all. On the other hand, work is being done to make the most of scarce resources. Efforts are being made to integrate mental health into overall national health care systems. Efforts are also being made to decentralize services and bring help to local communities. This means training nurses, health care workers, or volunteers to help monitor the mentally ill or prescribe simple medications. These steps are among the few models being tested in Africa. Dr. Fred Kagozi is the executive director of the Butabika National Referral and Teaching Hospital in Kampala, an advisor to the country's Ministry of Health. He says one model, which had been tested in Nigeria and Tanzania, placed the mentally ill in what were called rehabilitation villages. Kagozi says in Tanzania, the villages offered psychiatric services similar to those in hospitals. Also on staff were agricultural and livestock officers, nurses, traditional healers, and occupational therapists. A psychiatrist and medical social worker would make weekly visits.
These were based on the concept that, yes, patients who are severely mentally sick, they will never fit the ordinary community where they came from. They will be shunned. Therefore, they will be marginalized. They will not access opportunities like anybody else. So some researchers and other workers thought, yes, but why should we keep these people in the hospital all the time when they are better, when they are symptom-free? And so the concept of villages came in. I think the first one in Africa was in Nigeria, what we call rural villages, but that didn't take root. But it was basically confinement, but not in the hospital, but in a sort of a demarcated area where people are exclusive, mentally sick, and they are within their own, they are assisted maybe to do some gardening, that sort of thing. But it never spread beyond. Of course, it was again transferring what you call stigmatization. more or less from the hospital setting to a particular village, which is a no-go area.
Another model being used in Ghana, Tanzania, Uganda, and Kenya is called the sustainable livelihood approach. The mentally ill are not removed from their home villages and are supported with consultative workshops and self-help groups. Government and NGO partners provide microfinancing and other training to help patients get back on their feet and regain a measure of stability and independence. This model, social workers say, is closest to the one encouraged by the World Health Organization. The sustainable livelihood approach brings psychiatric support down to the village level, where medications and other simple assistance can be provided by trained nurses and others working under a psychiatrist.
Patients in a hospital, instead of access coming back to hospital all the time to come and get drugs, within their localities, can you organize either nearby health centers or use through the local leadership and through the community worker, have these people assisted to access drugs in a much more easy way? Can you look at the potentials which are remaining within themselves, or if they can ever go back to their professional job, can you assist them with microfinance so that really they, through their own initiative but with their own assistance, with assistance of a development worker, a community worker, be able to set up some sort of income generating activities? Can you organize them such that possibly there is a revolving fund where some drugs which are very difficult but within that locality are able to put in some small money and they buy the drugs and assist those who are unable to provide the drugs for themselves if it is not available in hospital? Now, that is what we call sustainable livelihood model. And this one is very, very good and it's quite popular where it has been. I think there have been several, not rolled out the entire country, but where it is, it has empowered the people. Many of them are actually kept symptom-free longer than what they used to have. In other words, they would get out of hospital. Within a year, maybe they have relapsed. But these days, they have kept away, and partly because they're happy, they're earning some kind of income, not so much income. They're accepted within a village. By the way, the program is also mixed or integrated with other interventions.
He says the system allows those mentally ill and their families to serve as role models, encouraging others to get mental help if they need it. And it keeps them out of what has become an unpopular remnant of colonial policy, institutionalizing the mentally ill. Their patients live in substandard conditions, often without treatment or legal resource to leave. Healthcare advocates compare that solution to incarcerating a patient and throwing away the key. They say advances in mental health care since colonial times have left that solution outdated and unwanted. I'm William Eagle in Washington.